I'd ask you to please turn with me again to 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we will read just one verse, verse 47, in this long chapter, the account of David slaying Goliath. And this verse is really fundamental to the whole account, really. In verse 47 we read, "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And we could read also the last part of verse 45, where David says to Goliath, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And the subject before us this morning, as we continue through the life of David, is David motivated for God's honor. Motivated for God's honor. You see, the account on record of David's victory in the Lord over Goliath, it teaches us many spiritual lessons. But the key issue in this chapter really is to remind ourselves that in this account there is one man and all the thousands, David, who was concerned for God's honor. And fundamental to the walk of the Christian believer is our concern first and foremost about the honor of the Lord. If his name is being despised in the world, it causes us grief. If his name is being rebelled against in the world, it causes us grief. In the camp of the children of Israel, there was fear. In the camp of the Philistines, there was aggression. But there was only this one man, David, amidst the thousands, who had grasped the real issue and the real problem. On both sides, the name of the Lord was being despised, either through a lack of faith, or on the other side, idolatry. And on both sides, in the camp of the Israelites and the camp of the Philistines, the fundamental problem was a lack of respect for the honor of the Lord. But this morning, we can also be encouraged to learn how faith with works overcomes the greatest enemies. And there are principles of faith taught in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and they will be helpful to us, I believe, regarding overcoming the Goliaths that there might be in our lives. There are many issues that we have to overcome. And you see, someone might have a big problem in their life, and another believer might look upon that person and say, "Well, that's not a very big problem really." But it's a Goliath to them. In their own experience, it is a Goliath to them. And they don't know how to overcome this giant. Here we have some aspects of faith which will help us in how we overcome Goliath, and how particularly here David overcame Goliath. Well, we might think in our own experiences of the Goliaths of temptation. It's like a big giant that comes. It threatens to destroy us. There's fear also. There's unbelief. There's pride. There's worldliness. Care can be a giant, actually, if we are overcome with care and anxiety. Our old nature's a bit like a giant at times, is it not? The flesh. Rejection can be a giant to us. Failure, disappointment, grief. But first we focus more particularly now on the context. A note then for the chief problems and evils in this account are much greater than Goliath himself. The chief problem and evil in this account is actually much greater than Goliath himself. Firstly, Goliath and the Philistine army are arrogantly defying the army of the living God. And that's the fundamental evil. It's not just against the army of the children of Israel they are defying, but actually it's much deeper than that. In their actions against the Israelites, they're actually defying the army of the living God. It's actually an attack against God. And you know how the Lord Jesus Christ said to Saul when he was converted, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul, actually, in persecuting the church, was really seeking to persecute who they represented, Jesus of Nazareth. And so it is here. This was the army of God, actually. They weren't acting by faith, but they nevertheless were the chosen nation of Israel. And the Philistines were really attacking God. They were actually using the opportunity to defy the living God. The fact that Goliath was a mighty giant was not the main problem. It was what he represented and said, "I defy this army of Israel." The Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And then in verse 25 we read, "So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will give enriched with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and give his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel.'" Now, it's only at verse 26 that we read the fundamental issue. "Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" So David straight away comes down on the real issue. This is an attack against the living God. David said to Goliath, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." That is the issue. Secondly, the Israelites are immobilized and they are dreadfully afraid, but they did not call upon the name of the living God. So in their case, they also despised the living God. They simply fled and shook with fear about Goliath and his threats. And none of them said, "This is an attack against God." They all said, "He's wanting to kill us. He's wanting to defy the armies of Israel." God is not mentioned. It's not God's honor that's their concern. It's their personal safety that concerned them. Or how could a man gain the reward of Saul and have a princess and no longer have to pay taxes? But thirdly, the one young man who did speak and act wisely by faith was at first despised and discouraged. He was despised by Eliab. It's interesting that David's first Goliath was not actually Goliath. It was, in symbolic language, it was Eliab, actually. Verse 28, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Oh, no, your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" Oh, how he despised David. And yet this was the man who Samuel said, "Surely this is God's anointed one." So the greatest problem really was not Goliath. The greatest problem was despising God. And David understood this. And this helps us to understand our own battles. We have the battles sometimes of temptation and unbelief and fear and issues that where we're being attacked as the Lord's people. We have to understand that the fundamental issue is the honor of the Lord. And once we grasp that fact, once we grasp that principle, that it is the honor of the Lord which is at stake, then that helps to guide us in all our actions, on all our words, and all our behavior. But now, having given a little bit of introduction here to this chapter and the context and one of the fundamental issue really in terms of God's honor, I want to look now for your encouragement at some aspects of faith. Faith then is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. That's the first point. Faith is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. Not our honor, not my honor, not actually the church's honor, but the honor of the Lord. That is the local church's honor. I'm talking about here the honor of the Lord, the God of the whole earth. When David came into the camp, the men were dismayed and greatly afraid. They only had eyes on Goliath and ears towards his threats. Here was an impossible hurdle. The man was a monster. He was intent on killing whoever challenged him. They were looking at the man. He was 3 meters in height. They heard a man with a deep, loud, resounding voice. They looked at his armor. His covering armor weighed 57 kilos. The weight of 2 heavy cases. You imagine carrying 2 cases, you know, going on holiday and you carry 2 cases, and they're way over the 21 kilos you're allowed. They are, 28 kilos carrying them. And that was just the weight of his armor. And the Israelites were impressed with Goliath and depressed at the same time. They were impressed and depressed at the same time. And we can see this in leaders of the nations today. We can be impressed with their rhetoric and their courage and their determination. But we can also be depressed at their stubbornness and pride. And a sense of inadequacy, what can be done about it? And into this sense of confusion, this scene of confusion and despair and doubts and fears in the Israelite army, comes one young man, a youth, from the fields, who had true faith in God. But notice the nature of his faith. His immediate and first concern is the honor of the Lord, the honor of the Lord. So David introduces into the camp in this crisis a totally different attitude of mind. One that looked up and not across the valley. So often in our troubles we look around, we think horizontally, we're thinking what people think and what people are going to do, and we keep thinking horizontally, 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 when all the time faith is crying to us, look up, look up. Look to God. It's the honor of the Lord which is the great issue at stake here. And David introduces a totally different attitude of mind. But when a person witnesses to a fearful, doubting people, the first reaction often is disbelief and discouragement. Eliab despised David, as I said. He did all he could to put him in his place. Go back to your few sheep you're looking after, and you just come to snoop around. He wanted him to feel a nobody in the camp. So Goliath was not the first one to address David with contempt. It was Eliab. Then later, when David went to Saul, His first reaction was to despise David. You are not able to go, David. You're not able to do this. It's too big for you, David. You couldn't possibly do this. You're so inadequate. And then Goliath despised and disdained David. He was offended by his youth and apparent weakness and littleness. And he cursed David by his gods, thinking that David came to him with sticks, like a dog to chase away. These are the thoughts that Satan puts into our minds as we seek to serve the Lord and we seek the honor of the Lord. What are you? Who are you? And this fact reminds us, dear friends, that Satan will always ensure discouragement against the faith that first honors the Lord. I think I've used this illustration before some years ago, but there is a picture given of, it's very symbolic, but the story goes of Satan having a sale of his tools. And they're all put on display and people come. And those that are in the army of Satan, they come, we've got to purchase some tools. And there's one tool at the front on the table and it's very, very worn. And so they ask Satan, why is that tool so worn? Oh, he said, that's the one I use most of all. It's the tool of discouragement. And the clever thing is that nobody knows it's my tool. Nobody knows it's my tool. And it's so useful. I just keep discouraging people. And people don't know, think it comes from me. And it's the most used tool of all. And there it was used against David. Who do you think you are? But the second thing about David's faith, God-given faith, is that it resists opposition. Notice here David came through the opposition and he kept completely on message. He didn't deviate from the message. He didn't deviate from the truth. He just kept straight on message. God's honor at stake here in this situation with this Goliath. Notice also the significance of the timing of the verbal assaults of the enemy and Goliath. If you turn back to verse 16 of this chapter, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Now, surely that alerts us. There's something being spoken about here. The significance of 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he resisted by the word of God. And here David, the young man of faith, enters the camp that had been assaulted by the enemy 40 days and 40 nights. And David, as the forerunner of the Messiah, is going to deal with this enemy in the same way as Jesus dealt with Satan in the wilderness over 40 days and 40 nights. David is going to come to Goliath. Yes, practically he's going to slay him with a sling and a stone, but he's coming by faith in the word of God. I trust in the living God. He trusts in God's word and he trusts in God's way. That's how he resists opposition. He keeps right on message. He doesn't deviate from the word. He doesn't deviate from God. But thirdly, faith encourages. When David is speaking to Saul, he speaks words of encouragement. These are the first words that David said to Saul when he met him at the camp. Now, there's been a number of disputes over the history for many years about how is it that Saul didn't know David, because David had already been introduced to him. Well, there's a number of different reasons given. Personally, I feel that at this stage, Saul was in such a bad way spiritually and mentally because of this, the troubling he was having with his whole, he perhaps didn't even recognize David as such. He was in such a stew about everything that was going on. Despite the fact that David had been playing the harp to him, and now he is here in front of him again, Saul doesn't recognize him, but it may well be that because of his state of mind, he didn't really recognize David in the way in which David was presented himself to him at that time. But the Bible doesn't give us a specific reason for this. It just tells us the facts. And the facts are that Saul sought to know who David was again. In chapter 17, having already had him play the harp for him in chapter 16. And it does mention in this chapter that David has been going to and fro from Saul before this event. Well, my view personally, for what it's worth, is that I think that the answer is the state of Saul's mind, personally. He was in such a terrible state of mind by now because of his rebellion against God. He wasn't leading the children of Israel by faith, really, was he? He just rewarded someone's going to give a reward to someone that killed Goliath. So what does David say to Saul? Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Your servant will go. This was not bravado. This was not youthful confidence and arrogance. It was simply faith in God and an encouraging faith in God. Faith encourages people that are in fear. And faith sets the example. And faith also remembers God's dealings in the past. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Well, as David records his deliverances in the past and God's faithfulness in the past and God's dealings in the past, God's dealings with him in the past governed his attitude in the present. And he had experienced in his short life to date that God is faithful, God is gracious, God is almighty, and God is the ultimate deliverer. He will deliver me. Now, remembering the goodness of God is true, is vital, to true and living faith. Remember. Moses said, you shall remember all the way the Lord has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember. Remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. As the hymn writer said, his love in time past forbids me to think he will leave me at last in trouble to sink. And faith based on the faithful character of God and his promises and dealings says, he will deliver me. He will deliver me. But then faith goes forward conscious of total dependence upon the Lord. Saul clothed David with his armor. Surely this was the best protection for this young man. But David could not walk easily with them. He had not proved his armor. It hindered rather than helped him. So it was that David goes forth with his staff and his sling. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. He went to war then with his eyes open, He knew the power of Goliath. He knew his personal weakness. But here is the key to his living faith. A faith that faces the enemy, aware of the enemy's power, but calls on the name of the Lord. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin." That should be enough to kill one man, shouldn't it? A sword, a spear, and a javelin. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." So here is faith's hope this morning. It's always in God, in his name. It understands that God's ways are higher than airways. It never moves from the fundamental issue of God's honor. It goes forward, serving unto Jesus Christ, the commander of the Lord's army. The battle is the Lord's. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now, when we understand, like David, that the chief issue is God's honor, then we can be sure of a blessed outcome. He will give you into our hands. But then, as we come to a conclusion this morning, faith always has the fruit of works. We begin by faith, not the other way round, and that will then develop into works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is one of the great purposes of being saved. But here David understood that while the battle was the Lord's, God intended him to do battle personally with Goliath. So what David did, he went forward by faith, and he placed into God's hands a talent that God had given to him, slinging a stone. And it's like us in our own service for the work of the church. We might think, well, I believe the Lord has gifted me in this particular way. This is the way in which I can serve the Lord. This is the way in which I can, and this is a gift that God's given me, and I dedicate that talent to the work of the Lord. I dedicate that talent. Someone might be very skillful in administration. Another might be very skillful technically. Another might be very skillful practically. Another might be very skilled cleaning. Another might be very skilled given gifts in teaching and the such like. And we do what David did. We just simply place that talent that God has given to us, which we've developed through hard work and exercise, as David did with his sling, and we give it to God, and we say, "Lord, use this for your blessing." And for David, it was simply slinging a stone. Many hours had been taken practicing with his sling while keeping the sheep, but David knew the success, the accuracy, the outcome depended upon the help of the Lord in this battle. Faith understands that God is pleased to bring about his will through the faith and the works of his believers. Now, if David had just talked the talk in the camp and before Saul and had not gone to battle, it would all be vapor. But God, David's God-given talent and his God-given faith, particularly, talked, walked, and worked. He used the talent that God had given him for the glory and honor of God. And so it was that David chose those stones particularly, and with God's help, he prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. It's a picture of dependence upon God. So in conclusion, faith is firstly concerned for the honor of the Lord. Faith resists opposition. It encourages. It remembers God's dealings in the past. It's always based upon the Word of God. And it goes forward, conscious of total dependence upon the Lord. And this faith will have the faith, the fruit of works. Well, you may have a Goliath you're facing this morning. Be of good courage. Do what David did. Give the battle by faith into the Lord's hands and say, this battle is the Lord's. This is where it belongs. And let us be humble and remember our victory will only come about with God's help and by faith in Him. And be careful of the hindrances in the battle. Satan will come along in this and he will provide a double whammy, not only be the cause of the problem, but we'll also say to you, look to human means to overcome this Goliath. Put on the armor that man's provided for you. While God is saying to you, go forward by faith. Don't be surprised if your concern for the honor of the Lord to be despised. But go forward in the name of the Lord. And I want you to think of the pebbles that David picked up, the stones that he particularly chose in his bag as he drew near to the Philistines. He took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the book. Well, he chose them by experience. They were suitable for this battle, this crisis. They had to be appropriate pebbles. They had to be the right size and the right shape. And so we, spiritually, we need to go to the brook of God's Word, this constant flowing brook of God's Word. And we need to pick up some appropriate pebbles of promise, of assurance, from the spiritual brook of God's Word for this battle. There's nothing Satan dislikes more than in your devotion time, God speaks to you with a verse, and it's just right for your situation. And you pick up this pebble, and you know with that promise, with that word, you can use it against Satan, and you can overcome him. The word of God used by faith is the best weapon against the enemy. Remember, our greatest Goliath, our greatest enemy against us is sin and death and hell. But it's amazing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him, and through his finished work, this Goliath has been slain for us already. And we can enter into this victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are some of the characteristics then of faith to help us overcome, and may the Lord help us to use the word of God wisely and always be seeking the honor of the Lord.